The following resource is from lmpc.org, and we're delighted to provide it freely to all. If you feel led to give towards the ministry of Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church, we welcome you to do so at lmpc.org/give.
Please remain standing for the reading of God's Word and be prepared to sing in response to the Word of God. This morning, a reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This morning we welcome to the pulpit of LMPC Dr. Lloyd Kim, and we welcome him with great joy and thankfulness. He was elected coordinator for Mission to the World by the 2015 PCA General Assembly. Prior to that nomination as the MTW coordinator, he served as MTW's international director of the Asia-Pacific region. He's a native of California, graduating from the University of California, Berkeley, with a degree in engineering, working with Ernst & Young before he went to get his MDiv at Westminster Seminary in California and his doctorate in New Testament studies at Fuller Theological Seminary. He has served as a pastor, an associate pastor previously in a PCA church in California before the Lord called he and his wife Ida as missionaries with MTW beginning in 2004 to the Philippines and then to Cambodia. The Kims have three children, Kaylin, Christian, and Katie, and we are delighted to have him with us, and we are really thrilled for his leadership in our denomination. There are exciting things happening in our denomination as we engage globally, and Dr. Kim is leading us well and faithfully. So thank you, and preach God's word to us this morning.
And thank you so much for that warm, kind introduction. It is an honor for me to be here with you. And on behalf of Mission to the World, I want to just share my heartfelt thank you to Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church for your many, many years of faithful service to our King and your partnership with us in seeing the gospel extend to the ends of the earth. If you will, would you pray with me as we prepare ourselves to hear the Word of God preached? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can call you Father, and we ask now that your Holy Spirit would fill us and enlighten us to receive the message you have prepared for us this morning. Help me, Father, this broken vessel carrying your glorious message of grace to speak faithfully. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. When my daughter was about 15 years old, my oldest daughter, she struggled with chronic headaches, stomach pain, and nausea. It was so severe that several times during the school year, she would be sent home. The nurse would call us and say, your daughter needs to come home. She's really sick. And so we've done what every parent does when their child is sick. We worried. We asked, is it stress? Is it an allergy? Is it emotional? Is it spiritual? We had the doctors check her out. They couldn't find anything wrong. And I remember one night seeing her on her bed in pain. And the thought crossed my mind, I should really go and pray for her. But then immediately another thought crossed my mind. But would it do any good? Have you ever thought this way? You ever struggled with God answering your prayers? You know, we confess that God is sovereign and that he governs and controls all the affairs of our lives, and yet how often do we live functionally as if he's far away? He doesn't hear us, that he's not concerned about our daily struggles and fears. We have read the Lord's Prayer in our reading today, and this sermon is going to focus on the last three petitions of this very familiar prayer. And what I want to highlight at the beginning is that as we think about this familiar prayer, there is a perspective, a theology that this prayer assumes. And one of those things that it assumes that God is not far away, our Father is not far, and is in fact very concerned about all the affairs of our life. But it also assumes that those who are involved in engaging in kingdom advancement will face opposition. And so if we can imagine that we are in a war, right, then these prayers and petitions that we lift up to our King are battle prayers. We would identify the first three, which we will not discuss this morning, as more offensive type of prayers. We're calling upon God as our Father. We're asking that his name would be hallowed. We're asking that his kingdom would come, his will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Offensive petitions. But these last three petitions that we'll focus on today, I would say, are more defensive prayers in this battle. We're asking God for daily bread, provisions in the battle, right? We're asking God for forgiveness of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We're asking God to lead us away from these temptations and to deliver us from the evil one. And so these last three petitions bring into focus the very things that we're fighting against in our desire to see the kingdom of God advance. What are those three things? Number one is worry. Number two is conflict. And number three is the devil. And so as we reflect on these three petitions, we will see not only how they help us to orient our lives in this kingdom battle, but how to intercede and pray for those who are on the front lines of this war, our missionaries and our national partners. So what is the first petition that we will reflect on? Give us this day our daily bread. What we are essentially praying as we pray this prayer is for the Lord to provide for us all that we need to live in life, all our provision for sustaining us in this battle. Now, why does he want us to pray this way? Well, because he knows that one of the biggest barriers to engaging fully in the advancement of the kingdom as disciples of Jesus is our worry, our fear of providing for our daily needs. We had the privilege of serving as missionaries with Mission to the World for about 10 years, and one of the hardest things for us as we began was, well, quite honestly, our discomfort in raising support. We were always taught by our parents to work hard, provide for ourselves, and give to others. And so the idea of actually asking other people to support us for our daily needs, well, is really uncomfortable. Needless to say, we gave in to worry and anxiety. It didn't help. But what did help, was reminding ourselves of these promises of God's faithfulness and his love and affection for us. Later on in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, he teaches very explicitly to his disciples. He says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so in teaching us this prayer, Jesus reminds us that we have a good Father who is more than capable of providing for all of our needs. You know, one of the hidden blessings of living on support was that how it made this petition, give us this day our daily bread, was so much more meaningful. Helped expose my idols of pride and self-sufficiency. And at the end of the day, just made me a lot more grateful to others, thankful. And the truth is, whether we are on support or not, we're all dependent upon our Heavenly Father for our daily bread. It's just easier, I think, to fool ourselves when we're not on support. And so as we pray this simple petition, we are directed to the one who is the source of all that we have and all that we need. And when we acknowledge this, then we are able to trust, truly trust, in his provision. And then we experience this freedom to engage in his kingdom building work wherever and however he may call us. And so as we pray this petition, let us also remember our missionaries and national partners, and to ask that God would provide for them their daily bread so that they would be free to engage in his work and be freed from paralyzing fear and worry. That was the first petition. What is the next phrase that we pray? Forgive us our sins. There's different translations. Very simply, it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You see, this is the antidote to kingdom-destroying conflict. What is the number one reason why missionaries leave the mission field? I hate to say it, but it's conflict with other missionaries. Why do many pastors leave the ministry? Why do many members leave the church? Conflict with other believers. And the remedy for conflict among brothers and sisters, it's not avoidance, it's not gossip, it's not running them out of our lives or the church, but it's forgiveness. It's reconciliation. It's restoration. When we first moved to Cambodia, I was the team leader of our team there and quickly got in a conflict with one of my teammates. In fact, it was my only teammate at the time. It was my wife. You see, I was so eager to jump into the ministry, hosting short-term teams, doing trainings, wanting to just dive into the work that God has called us. And my dear wife was concerned about other things like finding a place to live and settling the kids and, you know, little details like that. And so you can imagine how this conflict could be a source of great tension in a marriage. And these conflicts, quite honestly, almost sent us home, almost destroyed our marriage. And so needless to say, we all know, don't we, how conflict can hinder kingdom advancement. One of the most typical common ways that the enemy hinders the work of God through his church. And so this petition that we pray, this familiar petition, first directs us to God, the one that we ultimately offend with all of our sins. And we recognize in this prayer that we first need his what? His deep, rich forgiveness for our sins. And what this does is it puts us in the proper frame of mind to then look at our neighbor who has snubbed us, who has neglected us, who has maligned us, who has sinned against us, to look at them with grace. You see, it's when we receive this amazing grace and the burdens of our own sins are free from our shoulders, then we're able to freely, generously, lavishly forgive those who've sinned against us, because we recognize that we are more than capable of doing what they have done against us. Right after this prayer that Jesus teaches us, he gives the commentary, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." In other words, there's a connection between God's forgiveness for our sins, right, and our forgiving spirit towards others. And so evidence of a life that has been radically changed and forgiven by the gospel of Jesus is a life that radically and lavishly forgives others. Not only does reconciliation and restoration free us to engage in kingdom advancement, but the very process of this restoration is a testimony and demonstration of the kingdom's power and presence. What do I mean? When the world sees God's people confess, repent, forgive each other, what do they see? They see the power of the gospel. They see the power of the gospel at work in the lives of God's people. And so we are encouraged not only to pray for God's forgiveness for us, but for gospel reconciliation and forgiveness for others. And as we pray this familiar prayer, we need to remember those who are on the front lines, those who are a target of our enemy, and to pray that they would receive and dwell upon God's grace and forgiveness for their sins. Talking about our missionaries and national partners, so that they can forgive readily and lavishly others and be free from this kingdom-destroying conflict. What is the final phrase? "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And I think "evil one" is actually a better translation than simply "evil." And so not only are conflicts with brothers and sisters barriers to kingdom advancement, but also these temptations and attacks from the devil. And so in this prayer, what we are asking is we're asking that God would keep us from those things that would draw us away from kingdom life, kingdom ethics, kingdom values, and kingdom priorities. What are those temptations? Jesus outlines several of them in this very chapter. Hypocrisy, storing our treasure here on earth, serving money rather than God, worrying about our life, what to eat, what to drink, what to wear. And so these are the specific things that Jesus mentions, but let me add to that temptations to cynicism, doubt, anger, gossip, depression, slander. These temptations today are so very real and so very powerful. But as we pray this petition, we're also praying for deliverance from the devil, from the evil one. And so as followers of Jesus, we need to have our eyes open that we will be and are subject to the attacks from our enemy. And so this prayer, this petition, helps us to recognize the fact that we do have an enemy, and the enemy is not our spouse, not our brothers and sisters in this community of faith, not our church leaders. Those are not our enemies. It is the evil one, and he seeks to discourage and deceive and destroy us, plain and simple. But how easy is it for us, particularly here in the West, to be blinded to these spiritual realities? As we were serving in Cambodia, my wife Ida, as a family medicine physician, was serving in a clinic in the city. And one day as she was serving, the nurse came in and said, "Are you willing to see one last patient?" It was the end of the day. She's complaining about a toothache. And my wife at the time said, sure, happy to see her, but you know, thinking to herself, wouldn't she rather see the dentist? Well, as she was waiting, she heard all this commotion in the waiting room, and then this cheering and clapping and singing, and she was curious to know what was going on. And then later, one of our missionary colleagues came in to explain what had happened. This woman with the toothache fell on the floor and was just writhing in pain, and immediately the Cambodian evangelists came to her, who were working in the clinic, and recognized this was a demon possession. They could say, you could tell by looking at her. And so they talked to this woman, to these demons in this woman, and said, "What do you want from this woman?" They said, we want her to take us to this mountain. And they began praying. And they began praying in Jesus' name and talked to these demons, said, "You cannot no longer stay in her." And the demon said, "Well, where should we go?" And the evangelist said, "Well, there's a lot of temples. Why don't you just go to one of these temples?" And they were having this conversation with this evil spirit, and they prayed and prayed and prayed, and finally those demons left because of the prayers of the saints in the name and authority of Jesus. And that's when the whole crowd of patients waiting cheered and clapped and rejoiced at the power in the name of Jesus. After the incident, the nurse came in and said, "Are you still willing to see the patient?" And she said, "I guess so, as long as the demons are gone." If there is anything that will awaken us to engage in kingdom advancing work, it is the reality of our enemy and his attacks. And so this petition for deliverance reminds us that we are in a battle against principalities and powers. And so we are to engage with them with this spiritual weapon that we have of prayer. And so as we pray this petition, we need to remember again our national partners and missionaries, those who are on the front lines, and ask that God would indeed deliver them from temptations and the evil one's attacks, that they would be free to engage in kingdom advancing work. But let me ask you this question. Do these words that we utter give us victory over worry, conflict, and the devil? Well, no, not in and of themselves. No, there's nothing magical about these words, these sayings, these petitions. But what they do is they draw us to the one who does give us victory over worry, conflict, and the devil. They direct us to Jesus. They direct us to our King. And so as we pray this prayer of asking God for daily bread, we are reminded that Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is our daily bread. And anyone who eats of this bread, well, they'll live forever. And anyone who receives this Jesus will never have to worry about what they eat or drink for the rest of their lives. Jesus gives us victory over our worries and fears of daily provision. And as we ask for forgiveness for our sins, we are reminded that Jesus paid in full all of our past, present, and future sins on the cross by his precious blood. And so when we ask for forgiveness, we know and are reminded that we are indeed forgiven. Jesus, he enables us to draw near to our Heavenly Father with confidence, clothed in his robe of righteousness. Jesus gives us victory over kingdom-destroying conflict, because when we are forgiven, we're able to forgive those who've sinned against us. And when we ask for deliverance from both temptations and the evil, and we are reminded that we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ, because Jesus, our resurrected King, has delivered us from the tyranny and the power of the evil one. by sending his Holy Spirit to live and dwell in us. The Spirit that enables us to cry out to God, Abba, Father. And so Jesus gives us victory over temptations and over the devil by his Spirit of power. Let me ask you, do you believe this? Do you believe that our King has done these things for us? If you have not received Jesus, if you've not believed on Jesus, come to the bread of life. Come to the one who has forgiven our sins. Come to the one who has given us victory over the evil one. Come to him and receive him. He is the King. He is the Lord and Savior. So as we pray this kingdom prayer, we need to adopt the kingdom perspective that it assumes. The more that we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, well, the more bold and free we become to consider how God might actually use us to advance his kingdom. Literally, a whole world of opportunities opens up. We might find ourselves proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom in places where there's only darkness, only brokenness, and only injustice. We might find ourselves more invested in sending and supporting the work of God's kingdom, well, then investing in our own kingdom. We might find ourselves on our knees praying these prayers, these battle petitions, and pushing the darkness back and extending the work and the kingdom of God. And so the question remains, do our prayers make any difference? Well, yes, they do. It's now been several years since our daughter, our eldest daughter, who was struggling with those headaches and nausea and stomach pain, has been free from these things. God has answered our prayers, and our testimony is that our Heavenly Father loves us and hears these petitions and delights to answer them for our good and for his glory. We have a missionary couple that works with mission to their full-time job is to train and equip us in mission to the world how to engage in intercessory prayer. And one of the things that they say in their training is that prayer is not simply something you do before you engage in ministry. It is our ministry. And there are no boundaries for us to be able to engage in this ministry. And they describe our prayers as instruments in the very hands of God to effect change into this world and into our lives. And so, beloved, our prayers for our missionaries and our national partners are so precious. And so let us not neglect this practice of intercessory prayer, aligning our will with God's will to further advance the gospel of the kingdom throughout the world. So shall we therefore pray, Lord, give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, that your name would be hallowed and that your kingdom would come here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these saints whom you know by name. Thank you for each person who is here today and those watching from home. Holy Spirit, would you come, fill them, fill us, remind us of who we are, and may it result in a passion of fire in our hearts to see your name and your glory extend. Help us, Father, to partner together with those who are on the field to intercede for them, that they might continue this good work of declaring your kingdom, your gospel, your good news to the nations. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.